Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And as you would know, here on Kaya Biz, we're incredibly passionate about making sure that we understand what happens north of our borders and, of course, the many intricacies, excitement opportunities and partnerships that have typically been leveraged and embarked upon with our peers across the African continent. One thing that certainly impacts business, though, is politics. Later tonight after 8 o'clock, do listen in to Refilwe Moloto standing in for Phemelo Motene on Point of View, who will continue to give you more insight into the political standoff and unfortunately the diplomatic ties and the intricacies involved, given the unfortunate developments in the headlines earlier today between Rwanda, South Africa and the DRC, given the current invasion that's taken place in Goma and the presence of South African Defence Force members within the DRC. All of that, as we know, has led to many complexities, and there's a great and deep history behind why the conflict between Rwanda and the DRC exists, including the tribal groups that are at hand. But what does this mean from an economic and business point of view? The trade relations that we have with Rwanda, which is typically dubbed to be one of the most competitive economies on the African continent, the DRC, rich and wealthy in terms of natural resources, and of course the significance of South Africa's positioning as one of the most industrialized economies on the African continent. What does this conflict mean in terms of the diplomatic ties and the economic consequences thereof between the three nations? We called on one of my favorite people who knows a lot about the African continent, who's probably traveled to all three of these countries, to give us some insight. Africa expert, renowned author, and key communicator within the business space, Ntate Victor Gomeswana. Pravi, such a pleasure to have you.
Good talking to you again in the new year.
I'm excited to speak to you. I must say, I've only been to Rwanda, given these three economies. I live in South Africa. The DRC, I have never explored. I'm assuming you have, though.
I have. Actually, I took a listed company into the DRC. I used to represent multinationals.
Yes.
And I worked for a cement company that wanted to do business in the DRC, and I managed to get them into the country. I also managed to get the same company into Rwanda, by the way. So I do have a fair level of exposure, mainly to Rwanda. It's a country that I can say I know fairly well, because I've been to all five provinces of it, and many times, except my own country, I always say Rwanda is the one country I've visited the most, second only to Kenya, of course.
And this is, I guess, just for us to add, you know, add some detail to the picture that we're trying to paint in terms of the culture, the environment, and the experiences that we've had across the continent. As mentioned, there's a lot behind the politics happening between Rwanda as well as the DRC and South Africa's involvement there. But very briefly, this has a long, deep history to it. It's not just an overnight level of conflict that has taken place here.
Yeah, no, it's not. And I mean, it's a shame when I look at people on social media and how they are quick to label different leaders this, that, or the other thing without taking into account the context. I understand South Africans have been killed, and it's not a good thing, but we cannot be entitled to our own opinions about what's happening. Bottom line, the history of the DRC since 1960, when Patrice Lumumba was removed from office after just 3 months,
yes,
the prime minister, that was always a business play. You know, the government of the DRC overthrew a democratically elected prime minister because of business reasons. The multinationals that were in mining made sure that happened, and they managed to get Patrice Lumumba out of power. Since then, the DRC has not been stable. Now, you go to Goma, where I've never been. I've never been to Goma, so I don't know exactly what's going on there. But what I know is it's on the border with Rwanda. And if you think about it, the Tutsi of Rwanda during the 1950s fled to all four countries.
Yes.
Tanzania in the east, Uganda in the north, Burundi in the south, and the DRC in the west. So lots of Tutsi people went into the DRC, and they fought alongside Laurent Kabila, who was the father of Joseph Kabila, who became president after his father was killed.
Mm-hmm.
But they helped him to overthrow Mobutu Sese Seko in 1996. And in 2002, was it, when they were at Sun City, one of the agreements was that they would be incorporated, these people who had been fighting, into the new government. And that's why they are called M23.
Yes.
In March 2009, I think on the 23rd of March, they made the deal. And they are fighting now because they say that deal was never kept. So it's an economic injustice that they say they are fighting the M23 rebels.
Mm. And let's speak about, I guess, the economics of it all here. As mentioned, the DRC in particular is actually a region that is wealthy in natural resources. Even a few years ago, from an energy point of view, the Inga Falls was one of the infrastructure development tools earmarked to actually ensure that we could literally power and light up the continent.
Yeah. I mean, it has been talked about since before I was born.
Yeah.
I'm 57 in May.
This thing has been talked about since before I was born.
And that's the problem with the DRC, by the way. All the potential, no coordination, no institutions. And I'm not blaming the Congolese entirely, because it's not as if these things are happening by themselves.
Yeah.
You have companies like Apple, which the government of the DRC has taken to court over what they believe is the fueling of the conflict minerals trade to make cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
You have the government of Belgium that always caused that problem with the help of the United States government, the CIA in particular. And you have lots of people. 2-3 weeks ago, there were Chinese people who were caught with hundreds of millions of dollars under their car seats and gold bars. They were driving around that Goma area. They were arrested and I think eventually let go by the government. So you have a lot of interference from outside. I refuse to see this conflict as a neighborhood squabble.
100%. So is it safe to say that it really is just an economic conflict between these two countries, or a global threat?
It is a global, it's an economic, within the DRC is an economic strife as well. So for the South Africans to understand this, picture if, and I'm sure every South African has heard someone, a story like this. People who say, in the 60s, in the 70s, we fought for the freedom of this country.
Mm-hmm.
We are MK veterans. We are APLA veterans. We are AZANLA veterans. We fought for freedom, but now we are being left out. And what have those people done? Some of them, Gugu, have gone into cash heists. Some of them have committed crimes and are in jail. So the M23 is effectively the opposite of what you see in South Africa, in that whereas in South Africa you might be having isolated cases of cash in transit heists and isolated incidents of crime, there they are coordinated into a force, and they are saying, we are going to take what's ours from the government of the DRC.
Mm.
It's people who might have been born of Rwandan origin or descent, but they consider themselves Congolese. And they say, if we helped you fight and overthrow the dictator that was Mobutu, we helped you get into power, you should definitely be able to take us seriously, since the 23rd of March 2009, when the National Congress of the Defense of the People signed a peace with the Congolese government.
Got you. This makes a lot more sense just in terms of understanding the context of this particular clash. But I'm keen to go into the economics of it all now, specifically when it comes to the ongoing drive and words of encouragement around promoting inter-African trade. Help us understand the trade relationship that exists between South Africa and Rwanda, and perhaps the DRC incorporated in that.
You know, when just I'll use anecdotes.
Mm-hmm.
When MTN, which is a South African company, in 1994-95, wanted to expand outside of South Africa, do you know, although it is the biggest business in Nigeria, the first country outside of South Africa they went into, I think, was Rwanda. So the trade relations between Rwanda, since the days of Nelson Mandela as president, the trade relations have been very strong. As we speak, the Akagera National Park in the eastern province of Rwanda
mm-hmm.
has got the big five animals. They got those animals from the Kruger National Park here, or from South Africa.
Mm.
There's a lot of travel and tourism that happens between the two countries. There are lots of Rwandan people who are attending school in South Africa. These are people who are going back to Rwanda to become leaders. There's a lot of relationship between that. And there's also that kind of affinity, because when South Africa became independent, as in held elections in April 1994, Rwanda was going through the same groundbreaking or what a game-changing genocide. So we are like age mates in the sense that we fought, we went through groundbreaking watershed changes in the same year. But Rwanda is a small country, very small country that overcame disaster and ended up proving itself to be a successful turnaround story. And so far, the diplomatic relations between the two countries were very great, except, of course, there were allegations of South Africa hosting the renegades or the rebels who are trying to overthrow the government of Rwanda, and some of the people were killed, one person in the Centen Hotel. So there are all kinds of allegations and accusations. But generally, these economies are key. Rwanda is key in East Africa and the Great Lakes region. Mm-hmm. South Africa is key in the Southern African tip. Even the drone technology that mm-hmm. Rwanda is using to distribute medicine and all kinds of supplies, they got their policy framework from South Africa. So the relationships diplomatically have been very strong and should have been until what it looks like now, a stalemate between two leaders who can't see eye to eye. They talk in private and then they accuse one another of dishonesty in public.
That remains a concern, and I guess the outcomes of which have yet to be seen. Regarding South Africa and the DRC, typically a market that has been very difficult for many South African entrepreneurs to penetrate, not only because of, I guess, it's a Francophone region and the language might be a barrier, but from what we understand, really tough just to operate in terms of business.
It is a tough environment to operate. First of all, it's huge, you know, and it doesn't have the infrastructure to connect the different parts of the country. So when people talk about Goma in the DRC, the capital of the DRC is Kinshasa. It's more than 1,500, more than nearly 2,000 kilometers away. Yeah. Now, you don't drive around in the DRC. I remember when I used to go there, I would go to Kinshasa, and sometimes instead of flying from Kinshasa to Lubumbashi, which is a different time zone, by the way.
Sure.
Some people would fly back to South Africa and then fly to Lubumbashi. It's the connectivity within the country is not as good as it should be. There are no national highways to speak of that you can do in South Africa, drive from Musina to Cape Town on the same road. But the weakness of the infrastructures in the DRC is the real problem, because the weakness of those infrastructures makes it difficult for the minerals, and the DRC has every mineral you can think about,
gold,
from diamond,
copper,
to gold, to it makes it to copper. It makes it difficult for the country to take advantage of those, and it leaves itself open to exploitation. Let me give you a very shocking statistics. When I wrote Africa Bounces Back, I went to check the GDP size of the DRC, and I found it was just over $40 billion. And I looked up a small district in Belgium called Antwerp, and I found that the Diamond Exchange District was churning more than $56 billion a year trading diamonds. And the majority, bulk of those diamonds come from Africa, and a large chunk of that comes from the DRC. So to have a small district, you are in Rosebank. Imagine if I said to you, the Rosebank Mall, the zone, and where Standard Bank headquarters is, that area is a small district. It's generating $56 billion, but it's generating more than the GDP of the country from which it sources diamonds. Gives you an idea of how costly the weakness of the institutions in the DRC is. And this is where the problem is. That's why M23 ends up looking like it's being supported by external people. Because Rwanda claims, I can't have the instability across the border spill over into my house. I'm going to stop it from where it comes. And that causes all confusion. If the institution were strong, the DRC would be the richest country in the world.
Oh, yeah, easily. And taking care of the rest of the continent as well. This unveils so many layers about the complexities of colonization, ongoing economic expropriation, and frustrations that are typically raised by members of academia, business, and politics for years standing. I know we're speculating, Pravee, but as we wrap up, If you look at Rwanda, it's a key player within the East African community of countries. DRC as well, very critical, even in terms of its relationship with other Francophone peers. This conflict, South Africa's involvement, the diplomatic fallout that's taken place, are there unforeseen consequences here that could continue to pinch South Africa's economy going forward?
They could, because in the sense that South Africa continues to lose its grip. You know, it's seen as the leader of the continent. And to find itself in a standoff with a small country like Rwanda, which is just slightly larger than the province of Gauteng in landmass, around 12 million people, a country that 30 years ago or so was ravaged by genocide. It's almost like, you know, when you're a big, strong person and you are being dared by a child, and you
David
don't
and
seem
Goliath.
To be able to hold your voice against that child. It's not a very good thing for South Africa. But for now, in the immediate future, I don't think there will be anything, because obviously nobody's going to go to war with anybody. When Paul Kagame, President Paul Kagame, said if South Africa wants confrontation, I don't think he was talking military confrontation. He was saying if you are going to attack us in public, we'll fight back. But although I see there are moves in Rwanda now to recall the armed forces to Kigali for some briefing, and it looks like Rwanda is saying we are stepping up the defense of our borders even more than before.
Let's hope for favorable outcomes here. But peace across the continent is certainly what we need, and a lot more clarity, camaraderie, and peaceful outcomes. Lives cannot continue to be lost on either side of the border, regardless of which particular cultural group. Thank you so much for your time.
And I'm asking in 30 seconds.
Sure.
May South Africans refrain from fueling this whole conflict as if it's a neighborhood squabble. It goes back at least to 1960. It's not about Rwanda and DRC. It's about the greed of multinationals that have exploited the country to steal from it. So let's refuse to be put at odds with each other and fight one another as Africans. We were divided at the Berlin Conference. I say let's refuse to be divided again on matters like this. Let's inform ourselves, let's understand context, let's understand our history, and most of all, let's refuse to be divided by foreign interests.
100%. Tate Victor Gumasone, such a pleasure speaking to you as always.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. That's Africa expert Victor Gumasone giving us an understanding of not only the trade relations, but the economic ties that exist currently between South Africa, Rwanda, and the DRC. If you've been listening to Point of View over the last few days, just last night, where Filwe Moloto was standing in for Phumelo Modena, she'll join us again tonight to build up on the political depth, understanding, background, and key themes that we do need to understand regarding the developments that are taking place between Rwanda, the DRC, and of course, South Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.